people are going on vacation. So still some away today. A couple more weeks, you're going to have to put those kids in school and stay home. Amen. Get back to church again. One joke before we start. I've shared it with several this morning, and I hope those people will laugh. Speaking of vacations, do you know where sheep go to take their vacation? This is a popsicle stick. If you eat popsicles or with your kids or grandkids, they have a joke on the stick. This is the source. Don't think too deeply here. Where do sheep go for vacation? Bahamas. I know. But there's some things, once you read them, it's like, oh, I've never read that. I can't get that out of my head. I've shared that joke with too many people. If you have your Bibles, we're going to the book of Philemon. It is, the best way to get there is find the book of Hebrews and go to the front, because it's the next door neighbor. Back in the back of the New Testament, Philemon. We're going to study that this month. In August, a couple of more messages out of there so that you can be familiar with a great story. It's not a letter, it's a postcard, because it's like 25 verses and there is no chapter 2. That's how short it is. So if you have a difficult time finding it, it's okay. It may have a page. So you're looking for that page right in front of the book of Hebrews. I'll let you look a little while longer, but how many of you were born before video games? So we remember life before video, right? We remember real games. And not this, huh? Oh. Well, I'm thinking more of outside games. In my neighborhood, we played a game called Piggy Wants a Signal. I've never found anybody that knows what that is. But if you lived in Paris, Texas, over on the east side of town, we knew what Piggy Wants a Signal was. It's kind of like hide and seek, except once you go hide and the guy looking for you can say, Piggy Wants a Signal, and you have to make some kind of sound to give a hint to where the pig can go. Okay, it didn't play out. How many? It was fun. How many of you have ever played the game Hot Potato? Okay, I don't know that I literally played that game, but I'm very familiar with it because you pass it on, right? You don't hold it. Especially if that you're one of the first ones, because that potato's hot. We used to play that with baseballs and footballs and baskets. We didn't have a literal potato. We'd have to steal that out of the kitchen, I guess. But it was the idea of you didn't hold on to anything. You let it, once you got it, you passed it on as quick as you could. That's the message today. When you leave here, I want you to remember Hot Potato more than I want you to remember Piggy Want a Signal, okay? Or where sheep go for vacation. I want you to remember Hot Potato. Let it go. You may know of some people who have a hard time letting things go. It may be you, I don't know. I have qualified for that every once in a while. Something happens and you just can't get over it. You can't get past it. You can't let it go. I think when we understand all the bad things that could happen to the person that holds on to it, it's kind of like hot potato. You hold on to it very long, you're going to remember it for a few days. So today, Philemon is about letting go. Another word for that is forgiveness. Letting it go. Giving back. The Bible has a lot to say. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Luke jumps in there in chapter 17 and says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Paul writes in Ephesians, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgives you." One of the characteristics or earmarks of being a follower of Christ is that you learn to let go. You learn to forgive. You learn to let go of it. There's plenty of evidence throughout the scriptures that teaches us to let it go. Get past it. Move on. And there's none that supports the idea, hey, you hang on to it. It'll serve you well. No evidence of a believer living like that. When we study Philemon, we're going to learn it's a book about letting go. Philemon, Phil, I guess we could call him that for short. We'd probably better relate to Phil than Philemon. But he was a citizen of the city of Colossia, the city that the book Paul wrote to Colossians. He was a person of influence. He was a believer. And he had associated, he knew Paul. They worked together well. Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, Paul calls him a faithful and beloved brother. They were not brothers physically, but spiritually they were linked together. A follower of Christ, devoted, a servant, encourager. You read in Philemon that he had a church that met in his house. So he was open to the gospel. We know little about him. We're not going to be able to talk a whole lot about him, but what we do know is all good. That's probably a good thing, right? People ask, "Hey, do you know that guy?" "Oh, yeah, I know him." It'd be better to have them know very little and it all be good than to know the whole thing, right? So as we start through Philemon, there is a backstory. Philemon was rather wealthy because he had servants. In that day, they called them slaves. They were servants and slaves of Philemon. It's hard to get our head wrapped around that today, that a Christian, a believer, a Christ follower would own people. But that was the day. That was the culture. One of his servants or slaves was named Onesimus. Onesimus. We're introduced to him. As a slave, he steals from Philemon, grabs stuff, and gets out of Dodge as fast as he can. Philemon can't catch up with him, doesn't know where he lives. He's missing the things that he has taken. Plus, he had value. He was a slave. He had been purchased with money. And so for Philemon to lose him means that he, Paul, runs into Onesimus. You don't run very far from God, do you? Onesimus runs into a guy by the name of Paul who is in prison, in chains, but they get acquainted, and Paul leads him to the Lord. And Paul gets the backstory of how Onesimus ends up where Paul is. He's a thief, and he's run away. He's on the run. So Paul picks up a pencil and paper, and he writes a postcard to Philemon, and he says, I have a guy here by the name of Onesimus. You probably know him. You've probably got a bounty for him. He's come to know Christ. So now the relationship is not, he's just a servant. He's your brother. He loves, he serves, he has the same values that you have. And Paul, in his own way, says, I'd like for you to do me a favor. I'm going to put him on the bus back to Colossae, and I'm going to send him back to you. Here's what I would like for you to do. I'd like for you to forgive him and no longer treat him as a slave, because now he is your brother. That's the book of Philemon right there in a nutshell. But we want to talk today about what Paul tells him to do. He says, forgive him. So there's four things that we want to talk about. The first one is, who should we forgive? I've got a lot of people. I've had a lot of people through my life, and probably like you, that you really could care less whether you forgive them or not. They're a jerk, right? Hello? I know you're real nice, but I'm not. Okay? I have issues with people that offend me. I figure it out real quick. How can I get even? So that's, when we're doing this Wednesday night thing of Goliath must fall, the presenter is talking about there's things in your life that will rob you of the joy that God wants you to have, and they're called giants. One of my giants is getting even. You may not have a problem with that, but that's okay. There's enough of us around, okay? We're not looking for a club. People hurt you, say things, do things, offend you, wound you. You're hurt, right? And as best as you can, you know, I mean, you don't need a sermon on forgiveness, right? You know you're supposed to forgive, but it's difficult. So to the question, who should we forgive? Here's the quick answer. Anybody who has offended you. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel it's deserved or undeserved, whether you feel like, let's let them fall first, let bad things happen to them. Let's watch that. Let's enjoy that. When God talks about forgiveness, there is no picking or choosing on our part. We gave that up when we accepted Christ. Because he says you're to forgive other people in the same manner I have forgiven you. Oh, wait a minute. That's no fun to talk about, is it? That's a hard pill to swallow. It'd be a hard pillow to swallow, too. What have I done wrong? Oh, really? We have sinned. And Christ came to the cross and died to pay our sins. We are forgiven. And the way Christ has forgiven us is the same way we're to forgive others. Regardless whether we think they deserve it or not. They took a guy in the book of Acts by the name of Stephen, and they didn't like what he believed, and they didn't like how he lived his life, and they stoned him. One of the methods of stoning people was to find a kind of a valley, put them in the valley, and then hand out rocks to everybody up around the rim. And stone a person, throw stones at them until they died. In this process, the Bible said they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, here's his prayer. Those around the rim could hear what he was saying, and he was saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He didn't fall asleep. He died as a believer. In the midst of being punished, brutality, being tortured, he had the ability to say, Lord, don't add this to their account. Don't count this sin as something that they have done. Forgive them. Same words from Jesus on the cross, right? Father, forgive them. So who should forgive? We should. We should. I know it's a hard pill to swallow. Especially when you can figure out, I can get back. Here's what I will do. You're holding on to that hot potato a little bit too long. And you need to let it go. When should we forgive? Verse 12. I'm sending him back. Therefore, receive him. When do we forgive? As quickly as we can. Immediately. When you find out that I have Onesimus and I'm sending him back to you and he has been forgiven by God, you forgive him also for what he's done to you. Paul said, he said, receive him. You receive him by it's a taking of the hand, it's holding someone's hand. It's receiving them. It is welcoming them into your heart. They get access to your emotions and to your feelings. Paul said he was a runaway. He's a thief. He was a slave. But you receive him back as a brother. His life has changed. He's not the same guy that stole from you. He's not the same guy that ran away from you. He's now profitable. He's your brother. Think about this. It's come to my mind. What if you don't forgive someone, but they're a believer and they go to heaven, and you, when you go to heaven, I like to think God is working like this, that he puts you next door to the guy that you can't forgive. That's where your mansion's going to be, right down the road from the guy that you had trouble with living on this earth. Isn't that the way God works sometimes? Like, yeah, let's see how you like this, heaven. There's another reason that we need to get along here on earth, right? If we're believers, we may be in the same neighborhood. We may live in the same apartment complex. What a terrible thing to walk down the road and run into your arch enemy on this earth. And they're in heaven. A good motivation to get along with people here. Won't be your next door neighbor there. So, if you've been hurt, you've been offended, maybe it. Some people don't let it go and they carry it for 20, 30, 40 years. Well, my third grade teacher. Really? Your third grade teacher got buried a long time ago. Dead and gone, but you're still giving them power over you because you're still upset over what they did. Well, my boss, he hadn't worked there in 30 years. Come on. That place is even shut down, but it's still got power over you. We empower those offenses. We give them power to stir us up. Considering revenge, how can I get back? I never did get back at him. I got to figure, we hold the hot potato, right? And it's doing us more harm than it is to pass it off. We entertain thoughts. Yeah. I'm not sure that's a sin yet, but we entertain thoughts. We don't carry them out. But we figure here's a good way. Let's let them have a flat tire. Let's add a little rain to it. And we keep on building a case to justify feelings. When you forgive, when you get to that place where you let it go, you enable God to work on your behalf. God celebrates your forgiveness. God may look across and start working on the offender. It's kind of like playing tennis, isn't it? When the ball comes over on your side, you're to approach it and hit it back with the racket. True? You're to handle it properly. You're not to take it and turn it and hit it up over the fence and into the woods. You're to hit it back over. When an offense happens, it's like the tennis ball comes over into your court. And if you don't handle it properly, you hold on to it. You've been offended. Okay, you forgive and put it back over in their court. Revenge and vengeance is mine, says God. He says that big time in the book of Romans. Our response is not, I'm going to get even. No. You let God figure out the score, right? God's the judge, we're not. Yeah, church people have a hard time with that. Oh, I thought I was judge. No. We're not judged. Can't judge anybody. That's God's job. Verse 15 of Philemon. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. How should we forgive? We need to forgive like they were our family. Treat him as a brother. That's how Paul appeals to Philemon. Treat him like one of your own. Isn't that how God forgives us? Doesn't he give us grace? Gives us more than we bargained for. He keeps adding it on. It gets better and better. Don't treat him like a slave. Find a good place for him to live. Make him like a brother. Forgiving means you don't have the right any longer to reach back and use that against the person, right? That's not fighting fair. When people get in an argument, well, yeah, but don't you remember what you did? Wait a minute. If we have forgiven them, that's a moot point, isn't it? We gave it up. We let go of it. It's not ours any longer to charge or to cast blame. It's not easy to forgive, but it is necessary. Jesus says in Matthew, Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how often can my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Peter had an issue with forgiving. You get that? How many times? I got this dude that he just keeps on doing the same thing over and over, and he comes back and he knows I'm going to forgive him. And he says, will you forgive me? And how many times? If you know anything about Jewish customs, Jews would only forgive three times. If you did something, they're only going to forgive you three. Peter says about seven. I mean, he's doubling the amount. How many? He says there in Matthew 18. And I forgive him seven times. Jesus said, I say not to you seven times. He's going to blow Peter away here. Get ready for it. He says, but 70 times 7. And I can hear Peter. He's not in the scriptures. But can't you hear him groaning? Can't you hear him walking away going, oh my goodness. What did I get myself? I should be back there fishing. I should have never given up my boat to follow this guy. Being a follower of Christ is not like being in the world. Did you know that? Figured that one out? God has a higher standard, a better way to live. Not three, not seven, endless. That's what Jesus is really saying here. Verse 18 tells us why we should forgive. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. What? Remember the Good Samaritan? He brings the Samaritan, brings the victim to the hotel. He says, listen, I need you to put him up in a room, take care of him, whatever he needs. What does he say? I will take care of that when I return. Put it on, just start a bill. Run a tab on him. When I get back, I'll take care of that. That's what Paul's saying here. If he owes you anything, I'll repay it. I will take care of him. Why are we to forgive? Because, first of all, God's commanded us. It's not a suggestion, guys. It's a command. Forgive one another. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. Matthew 6. Forgive. And the last reason is because it's like Christ. When we leave here today, if you're a believer, when you leave here today, you're going out into a world that needs to see Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that they see him living through you is through this thing of being able to let it go. Somebody cuts you off and the passenger in your car says, won't you get him? I'm a believer. Just let it go. Just let it go. It's not an easy thing, but it's the right thing. We're to be Christ-like. We're to be like him. He is to shine through us. Our life needs to be transparent enough to do that. Next week, we're going to look again about how that Onesimus was changed. It really was changed. Well, we've been talking about forgiveness. Is that screen turned on in your head? Do you recall that situation? Is the potato still in your hand? I challenge you this morning to ask God, I don't have the power, ask God to help you pass that potato on. Let it. God dissolves it forever. When it comes back, remember, hey, God took care of that. Has there been a name? I mean, throughout this 20 minutes or so, does their name just keep bubbling up? Situation. I mean, it's just, I'm not saying that you need to do something. But my thinking is that if we're talking about it and you've got an example of it that just keeps on, and on, it's probably a situation that you need to go, here, I want to get rid of this. I need to let it go. You're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior. This is like foreign language to you. you're better at getting revenge than anybody you know. And now we're talking about giving your life to follow somebody who forgives. You don't think you have that kind of power. Let me tell you. The God that I know has the power not only to give you that, but to wipe away all sin. To make you a different person. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God makes all things new. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, you're not sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. You're not sure if God came back today, he'd take you home. If you're not sure of that. Maybe you're a believer and there's other spiritual decisions that you need to make. Here's the deal. I'm going to stand and sing another song here in just a minute. And during that song, Archie and Judy and others will be here at the front. Maybe you just need somebody to help you pray that God will help you forgive. Or you can walk out of here holding that hot potato. Really a choice. You can walk out of here gambling that you're going to give another opportunity to receive Christ, and maybe you will, maybe you won't. None of us have a promise. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings. If you're going to do something, do it while the time is there. I encourage you. I know it's not easy, and it'll take a little work. But when you leave here later on, no regrets. No looking back. It's the same song we sang last week, Amazing Grace, and then it comes to the point, my chains are gone. Chains are things that bind you. It's all standing. During this song, people around you are praying, and we ask you to come.